Alrighty. Oh, did you see Stephen Amell is going to Comic-Con?
Yeah, I was like, damn, they're really getting some people.
They're pretty stacked this year.
I know, yeah. I mean, Stephen's not doing much, it seems. Arrow's like over.
Yeah.
But it's still cool.
He's riding that wave right
now. I remember watching that show and I'm like, is this Green Arrow? Like, it hit me like halfway through the season. I was just watching it.
Is this Arrow show about Green Arrow?
I'm like,
or some other Archer?
I think this is a DC show. I didn't know at first.
Why does it keep saying DC at the beginning?
Because it was, well, you know, that's a good point. But I didn't associate the two. I just remember distinctly thinking like, oh my God, it's him.
Yeah. Anyway, welcome back everybody to the Trade Raiders Podcast, the comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel, you're Nathan, we're brothers, we read comics.
What the hap is fucking, Daniel?
Nothing, man. Just another day, another week.
Another week where we read a good trade.
Sure do.
A good old trade, and we sit back in our lounge chairs. This is for the audio listeners. We sit back in our lounge chairs. There's a fireplace behind me.
Right.
We're smoking on one of those pipes. That has like a little puff come out of it.
Yeah, with our scotches.
Yeah, and a scotch. And we talk about sophisticated comics.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But Daniel, before we gotta talk shop. Okay.
Oh, okay.
We have different time codes.
Oh yeah.
I'm taking over. I'm saying this bit now.
Oh, okay.
We have the news first, which we'll get into momentarily, but just wait, because there's also the Star-Lord book that we're reading this week, as well as the back matter for that. And then the last time code is the poll list. Colon, shove it in your box. But let's talk shop about the news.
Nathan, Marvel announced that they're doing a new series of What If books called What If Dark, which will include books about Moon Knight, Spider-Gwen, Venom, and Loki.
That's very cool.
Yeah, so we'll see. I guess they're dark What If stories, I guess.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah, so...
Because, like, season two is coming out pretty soon, right? Ish. It's being made.
I don't know if it's, like, in conjunction with that. There's, you know, they're always like, kind of some sort of What If thing, you
that's
know?
Fair. I like that they themed it. I think that's good, because otherwise you're just going to be getting, like... I don't know. Sometimes the What Ifs aren't... They don't all hit, you know? So... I like that they've decided to go with the theme. Daniel, did you know that Grant Morrison has a cameo in the Titans TV show?
Oh, I thought you were talking about like the cameo website. Like, no. You don't order a cameo from Grant Morrison?
That would be funny. That'd be weird. I don't think I would want that, actually.
It might be a little odd.
He seems like a strange guy, but he showed up in Titans, and the episode is called Dude, Where's My Gar? Because of Garfield. Beast Boy.
Okay. Is that like a newer episode?
Newer episode.
Okay. Is that show coming out right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's season like its four? Last season. Yeah.
Okay. Did you watch it and then saw that?
No, I saw it on Twitter.
Okay. Gotcha. Nathan, Francesco Francavilla is at it again with another SpongeBob Mysteries book.
I was
book.
About to say, is he doing more SpongeBob? We should read one of those.
He's doing the art. I went to fucking Barnes & Noble to try and find it because the I was in the area.
Okay.
And
sure. No, you were hunting it down, but continue.
And the app or whatever, the website said that they had it in stock. So my dumbass was just in like the kids section at the picture books.
No, it's a sophisticated literature, Daniel.
Yeah, I should have went to philosophy section. Or something.
Yeah.
But I was just like staring. I'm like, where the fuck is it? Like, there's no fucking order or like organization in that section at
it's
all.
It's not A through Z?
No, it's like so random. Do and then I figured out a lot of people have like kids books. Like Jimmy Fallon has one and Neil Gaiman has one.
Yeah, that makes sense. And, I mean, he's an author. Jimmy Fallon's not.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Seth Meyers had one too. And I just saw a bunch of really random ones.
That's weird.
And
they make hella money.
Yeah, so I looked at picture books. It wasn't in there. Then there's a kids comic book section where they have like Smile and stuff like that, but it wasn't in there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was pissed. But
you should put like a really fucked up comic book in the kids comic book section.
Oh man,
make it like
the Beef.
Yeah, the Beef or like V for Vendetta or some shit.
Oh, what would be like the worst comic book if they just had a copy of Sunstone?
Southern Bastards. Oh, yeah. Sunstone would be a good one. Southern Bastards.
Dude, Luther Saga. Strode or something.
Saga would be immediately scarring for a kid because it opens with like childbirth, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So that's one.
But yeah, it's going to be called Ooze in the Ocean, coming out June 6th.
Is it a horror?
It's another SpongeBob mystery one. So it's like a series of books.
I actually really unironically want to read those.
I do too. No, they look sick. They're like 220 pages.
So you didn't find
They're like whole ass graphic novels. No, I didn't find it. I had to like order it. And then he's also working on the third one.
Oh my God. We should have him on.
Talk about SpongeBob mysteries.
I would literally be starstruck, I think. I like that dude so much and I know so little about him.
Yeah.
But that was David Aja, the Hawkeye dog one, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But Frank Avila was on a couple issues of Hawkeye, like the Fraction run. So
okay.
And did some covers. But yeah, I think he's like such a great artist. So
yeah, he's definitely one of my favorite to look at nowadays.
I could talk to him about Archie.
Afterlife with Archie.
Afterlife, yeah. I was gonna say Underworld.
Or fucking Night of the Ghoul.
Dude, there was another Archie like horror thing that came out like this week.
Oh, really?
I can't remember what it was called, but it was like Archie. It was like a horror looking book, and it was like from the world of Archie. And I'm like, of course it is.
They couldn't get fucking close to Afterlife with Archie.
Absolutely not. Yeah. No. That's still like the best zombie book.
They should just call it not Afterlife with Archie, because that's what it is.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. That's still like the best zombie book like I've read.
It is pretty fucking up there.
It's like that and then like Kiss Zombies and then like everything else.
Walking Dead's in there somewhere.
Walking Dead is probably top five somewhere. Daniel, Star-Lord drops the first ever F-bomb in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. Spoilers, I guess, but...
Okay.
The first ever Marvel F-bomb.
Okay. Speaking of R-rated things...
Yeah.
Or things that... Fuck is in R-rated things. So, sure. Kraven the Hunter is going to be an R-rated movie.
Cool.
I guess. And I guess there are some first looks at the thing. I didn't see them, but it's showing Aaron Taylor Johnson as Kraven the Hunter. And then the movie will come out October 5th.
They're so lucky that he was in Bullet Train.
They snatched him at a really good time. Like before he was goated in Bullet Train.
He's always kind of been goated. But
he's always kind of been goated, but that like certified goated.
It does, yeah. He gets the star on the walk of fame of goated people.
Right.
So yeah, they got super lucky. They must really not want to make money on that movie if they're making it rated R.
That doesn't seem like a smart thing, but then again, I don't know if any kids like, oh, I know Kraven the Hunter from...
What adult is
a Spider-Man?
Is telling you they know Kraven the Hunter, you know?
Not many. It's definitely... A pretty niche thing.
It can only lose them money, you know. It has to be a recognizable character, like Wolverine. Deadpool probably wasn't super recognizable, but the
Ryan Reynolds was in it.
But yeah, bro, Ryan Reynolds is, and he was able to push that because he's been wanting to make it for so long, you know.
Like, I think, you know, Morbius obviously was kind of the same thing. Like, I guess maybe you go see it for Jared Leto if you want, but. And then maybe slapping Marvel logo on like a trailer will get you to go. But, you know, it's probably going to be the same thing unless it's like raving reviews or a super good trailer.
Or
it
becomes a meme like Morbius.
Maybe. Surely they'd learn from that.
They would want to replicate that, I would assume. There's no way that that movie would have made more money if it wasn't a meme. I'm talking about Morbius.
I know, but regardless, it didn't make a ton.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know if it made its money back.
Other news.
Nathan, Netflix announced that it's going to be releasing 12 animated movies in the next like 18 months or whatever, including things like a SpongeBob animated movie. SpongeBob animated movie.
Okay.
An animated Transformers movie coming out next year.
Uh-huh.
That'll surround the origin of Optimus Prime and Megatron. Also a Ultraman animated movie.
Ultraman?
Yeah. Ultraman is a character that was like originally a manga, but Marvel had like publishing rights, but they were able to make Ultraman books for like a little while. But I think it'll be more in the vein of like the manga.
Why have I heard Ultraman before though? Isn't that just like a generic?
It kind of looks like a Rocketeer slash.
Isn't that the superhero that Sheen really likes in Jimmy Neutron?
Oh.
No, that's Ultra Lord.
Ultra Lord, yeah.
Where's the Ultra Lord?
That's what I really want.
Dude, we're just Sheen.
bringing our action figures to school.
Yeah.
Having t-shirts of the shit that we, of the shit that we like.
Yeah, carry around the Ultra Lord. Does he do that? He carries like an Ultra Lord like action figure or something, right?
Yeah, like at all times.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Dana, everybody's been asking for it. And Marvel's finally bringing this character back. Flexo the Rubber Man is a character coming back. It was originally created by Will Haar and Jack Binder for Mystery Comics number 1 from Timely Comics in 1940. Al Ewing's bringing him back for Free Comic Book Day. So they're bringing him back, and everybody can enjoy it for free.
For free?
For free.
For free.
In the Venom / Spider-Man Free Comic Book Day 2023. Which is pretty cool.
So it's not getting his... He's going to be in Venom / Spider-Man?
Yeah.
That sounds like a cool book.
Yeah. It'll be... so yeah, Flexo coming back. Good for him. Also, Daniel, DC's adding more Dawn of DC stuff because I guess it's going well so far.
Has that started?
It has while ago. Doom Patrol is like the first one, which is weird.
Right.
The Green Arrow one came out today.
Mm.
They're adding more series, including Blue Beetle, which is pretty cool.
Okay. Apparently it's probably smart.
It's going to spin right out of Blue Beetle Graduation Day. So it's going to have the same exact creative team of Blue Beetle Graduation Day, which just wrapped up or is about to wrap up. So that's pretty cool.
Okay.
That they're keeping the creative team. There is also a Power Girl one that's coming out and a Fire and Ice series, which is interesting. But I think... Human Target made them more like popular or something. So they're like, let's do more of this.
Probably.
Yeah. So pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
Tom King and Mitch Gerards pitched a Dr. Fate comic and they got denied, but it spun into what they're working on now, which hasn't been announced yet.
Hmm. Maybe we'll be able to get it out of them at Comic-Con.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's true. They're both going to be there.
Come on. No, I don't know.
When's Dr. Fate coming?
I definitely don't have a podcast.
Yeah, true.
I promise not to say anything.
Yeah.
This is just for me. I will tell my brother, though.
And then that'll be news to me, and then I can tell on the news for the podcast.
Yeah. We'll say from a very secret source.
Allegedly.
Not really comic book news, but did you see the trailer for Next Goal Wins?
No.
That is Taika Waititi's next movie.
Okay.
It's got... What's his name? Magneto. New Magneto. What's that actor's name?
Wow, you said that and it, like something happened in my brain where you like fucked it up. Michael Fassbender.
Michael Fassbender.
I can normally always have that name, you know, like.
Right. Ready. Yeah, I knew you'd knew it.
But like, so you being dumb made me dumb. It was crazy. Anyway, keep
so going. Good. So it's about Michael Fassbender and he's like a bad football coach, not American football, like soccer.
Okay.
And, he gets fired from his job and he gets offered a job to go work for American Samoa, like, which is like a country. And that's like the worst soccer team like ever. They have like I don't think they've ever won a game. I don't even think they've ever made a goal before.
And I know so much about this movie already.
Cause that's just what the trailer told me.
Oh, okay.
And it's based on like a true story.
So it's just reverse Ted Lasso.
I mean, it's pretty similar to Ted Lasso. Like the team that he went to wasn't very good.
Oh, okay.
And so,
gotcha. That sounds cool.
Yeah. So,
also not really like news, but I discovered Shaky Kane, the artist on The Beef.
Yeah,
is like on a book like right now.
What book?
It's called Weird Work.
Weird Work.
Weird Work.
Sounds about right.
Which is from Image Comics.
Good for Shaky.
And yeah, so. I just think that's interesting because I think that his art on that was like pretty good.
Yeah, no, it's a really fun style.
I remember it making me uncomfortable, which was like on purpose. And so I think he was able to like really accurately.
Is this out yet?
It's like out right now. I think it's on like number 3 or something. But I just saw that and I was like, oh my God, it's Shaky Kane. He's got like a Twitter and everything. So
he's a real person.
Yeah. I thought that he would have just done this and then never done any more comics ever. And so I was like very surprised.
No. I think with the right story, he could be like a really cool, do some really cool stuff. You
totally.
Know?
Totally.
All right. And let's get into our book this week.
Dan, what did we read this week?
We read Star-Lord : Grounded.
Correct. Bye.
Chip Zdarsky,
friend of the show.
Chris Anka with Walden Wong. And my boy Matthew Wilson on colors.
Did you know that he was on this?
Yes, because they show you this right before the book starts.
Oh, and you read them all?
I didn't know prior.
Oh, okay.
And then also
there's an annual with
Jibril Morissette and Matt Lopez.
Yeah, pretty cool. What did you think, just overall?
Excellent art. I loved it.
Excellent art.
Every panel I loved. There's things I liked about every page.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Chip did a really good job of handling, like, telling the story in a very, like, jumbled continuity, but he was still able to pull something out of that, you know?
Totally. Like, this book is in the middle of, like, a metric ton of continuity.
Yeah.
Like, it's under so much. It's, like, during Civil War II and, like, the Guardians were involved for like a little bit, and then also there's a thing where like the ship crashed and that's why they're sitting on Earth,
and he was like a other king thing. Of some planet for some reason.
Yeah, he was dating like Kitty Pryde, which is weird, and then
he has a sister.
He's got there's like so much that I'm just like, I don't know what this is.
Old Man Logan's in this.
Oh yeah, yeah. Old Man Logan at this time. I think there's like an old Captain America going on at this time as well, but probably, that he didn't show
like,
up
like the Uncanny Avengers.
It was the Daredevil in his black suit, which I think is still pretty cool looking.
No, that's a good one.
Yeah. Alpha Flight's in here.
Yeah.
So there's like a lot kind of going on, but I think it's actually pretty incredible, like the story that he was able to tell.
Yeah.
You know, and despite that continuity, it just shows that like you can still make something pretty good with what you're given, you know? But you still need to give them the space to breathe, you know?
Sure. He accomplished kind of what I wanted him accomplished with this. Like, it's called Grounded because he's like on Earth and has to stay there.
Yeah.
And he's able to tell such like a human story with this like intergalactic character. Yeah. And so, I mean, he's part human, but he's like, he does alien stuff, you know, space stuff. And so it was just cool to see something that was just very close to a slice of life, you know?
Yeah, I would agree.
And there's a really funny gag that's throughout this where like Star-Lord's shirt just keeps getting ripped off.
Dude, he's always shirtless in this. And thank God.
Yeah.
Because Chris Anka is the man that draws the best shirtless man in comics, as confirmed by Chip himself.
Definitively.
On our show. It was one of them. I can't remember. The first one maybe that he was on.
It's pretty early.
It was like episode like
15. It was like 7 or something.
So yeah, it was ridiculous. It was pretty early. But yeah, I'd never even read it, but I saw Chris Anka's art of this. I'm like, God damn, it looks good. And panel one, he's shirtless.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. So let's get into it.
Yeah, ready.
So Alpha Flight has paid for an apartment for Star-Lord, Peter Quill, and given him a phone number with all the people he knows on Earth because he's like stuck here and they felt bad. So the only people on his phone are Howard the Duck and Kitty Pryde, who is his ex-fiance.
Who is Brand?
Brand is a person that's part of Alpha Flight.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. There's like a couple people on Alpha Flight. I guess he didn't want to include everybody. Mm-hmm. He didn't want to include Puck for some reason, my favorite Alpha Flight member.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, post-Civil War II, the Guardians were there for a little bit. I can't remember why. Captain Marvel got him involved, I think. It was like an all right event, you know?
Which one was it?
Civil War II.
Yeah.
You read it, right?
I remember liking it when it started.
Yeah, I liked it when the Hulk died. That was cool.
Yeah,
Hawkeye
killed Hulk.
Okay, yeah. It's funny that he like knows like Howard the Duck.
Yeah,
and he like calls Howard the Duck, but Howard the Duck is like too busy for him, which I think is a really funny bit.
Yeah,
yeah. We just like right out the gate, he's shirtless for like the first five panels you see him in, which is pretty sick. So yeah, Howard the Duck is too busy to hang out with Peter, so he goes to the museum. Because he's bored. He's like, what do I do here? And he sees Kitty Pryde there, but gets blown off when he asks to hang out with Kitty because she's busy with teacher stuff. Oh, another continuity thing. The X Mansion is in like Limbo.
Mm-hmm. The video game?
No. Good video game, though. It's in Limbo, like the one that magic can enter.
Oh, right.
And so she like put the whole X Mansion in there because they're hiding from something. But like that's like part of the Extraordinary X-Men run that Jeff Lemire does. So that's like another thing on top of that that's going on.
Huh.
But Old Man Logan takes Peter to a shitty bar to go hang out. I like how he's in the museum and Kitty's like, you have a gun on you? And he's like, well, I'm not allowed to have a gun in here. Like, he just like doesn't understand like Earth rules.
Yeah.
But that's a true American right there. He's like, I can't have a gun in here. I don't want to be here.
Yeah. The first page, he's like cracking a beer.
Yeah.
And then it's like 9 a.m. He's like, when am I supposed to drink beer?
when's beer drinking time here? I don't know. Yeah, Old Man Logan's here. So I totally forgot, but, you know, pretty cool character.
Pretty happy to see him, though.
Yeah. There's also a scene, like, way out in space that introduces Quill's sister. So that's pretty fun. But Logan gets into a bar fight when he overhears that there's, like, a hit on Star-Lord or something about to happen. And the fight is taken outside, and eventually the police show up, and Peter is arrested. And I love that Old Man Logan just chops this dude's hand, like, right off as soon as, like there's about to be something that goes down. And, like, we see his reaction as well. He, like, contemplates, like, what just happened. And
yeah.
His fucking nub is just bleeding so much.
Yeah,
he just screams.
That'd be, like, not only are you losing the limb, like, the trauma of seeing that, you know?
Yeah.
It's just got to be terrifying.
Yeah, and then he's just, like, so nonchalant about it, Old Man Logan is. So that was a good scene. So he gets arrested. Issue 2. Star-Lord's taken to court for his crimes, and his opposing lawyer is Matt Murdock. And Brand from Alpha Flight manages to, like, bail him out, and Star-Lord has to do 100 hours of community service, which is basically hanging out this dude named Edmund Allen in a retirement community. It's crazy to think that he writes Daredevil here, and then he would just later do, like, a Daredevil run.
Yeah. Maybe that's how Chip, like, gets jobs, because he did, like, Justice League, like, Last Ride, where Batman was in it, and now he's writing Batman, you know?
Yeah. He did Howard the Duck, and I think Spider-Man was in that.
Yeah.
For a little bit, and he wrote some Spider-Man.
Wrote lots of Spider-Man. My favorite issue
is Spider-Man as well. Uh-huh. So he seems to do that a lot. Also, in Sex Criminals, there's people wearing a Batman and a Spider-Man mask.
Ooh.
In, like, the very first issue, because it's, like, Halloween. And
right.
It's, like, a little bit. And he ends up writing both those characters. So I think this is just what he does.
I think he just can see the future.
I think he just puts in what he wants to do.
He's been telling us this whole time.
Yeah, he has been. He's been leaving.
Who's in his Daredevil run that we need to know about?
Oh, shit. Elektra. The Owl. Kingpin.
Mm.
Well, I guess he did Devil's Reign. So I don't know. I'll have to look at it a little bit deeper.
So everybody.
We see the outfit that's in the Guardians game, which is pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, I forgot about that game.
Yeah. Good game. So Peter takes this Edmund dude out on a walk. Star-Lord sees a bank robbery, and he's like, I gotta go stop this. Miss Marvel is there, too, and there's a villain named Mind Blast who's doing the robbing. I think she has, like, telekinesis powers. But Miss Marvel has to, like, wrap up the rest of the mess while Peter takes Edmund back to his home. There's a funny bit in here where he puts on his, like, Star-Lord helmet, and he, like, analyzes the weakness of Mind Blast, and it's, like, her brain. And he's like, no shit. Like, that doesn't help at all, which I think is funny. And there's, like, this interesting moment as well, which I thought was initially, like a character moment for Star-Lord, because there's money on the ground that would help him pay for, like, his fine or whatever that he still has to pay.
Mm-hmm.
But he decides to leave it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that's a cool moment. Turns out later it goes missing. But
so there's this wall of this bank that was blasted open, and debris fell on, like, their getaway truck for the robbers.
Oh yeah.
And then they're like, where's Carl, where's our truck? And Carl is in the truck.
Oh, no.
And this dude is like, and he's like, he should be in there. And then, like, next panel is, like, Miss Marvel punching one of them, and then, like, the other guy's, like, crying. He's like, Carl,
oh,
no, Carl.
Oh, I didn't even realize that's what was happening.
That's, like, the best joke in the book.
I was like, yeah. I was like, oh, that sucks. Their getaway car, like, oh, that's
with
funny.
The getaway driver was in.
I know. I didn't catch that at first, but yeah, this guy is clearly just grieving.
Yeah,
genuinely.
That could have been, like, his brother, his, like, best friend, you know.
Shout out Carl.
Just, like, I love these underlying stories where there's probably so much to it, but it's just never explored.
Yeah.
Know?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Mind Blast. That's a good one to use. I wonder whose toes he had to step on to get her, you know.
Oh yeah. Totally. Yeah,
someone's probably definitely going to use her.
He's going to do a Mind Blast story later on. There's a part where, like, Edmund's, like, just done with this shit, and he, like, distracts Mind Blast for, like, a little bit, being like, what the fuck are you doing? And then that allows Miss Marvel to, like, get involved, so that was fun.
Yeah, he was like,
because he's, like, a real one for that.
He's like, do you know what time the bus comes, or where and she's like, I usually drive, and then he was able to stop her.
Yeah,
there's this interesting panel when Star-Lord does stop Mind Blast, where he, like, hits her in, like, the back, right? And she, like, has these, like, what does Green Lantern do? He makes the
a light construct.
Yeah, she has this construct around like her ass, and I was wondering if like maybe they put that construct there because her ass was like too fat. You know,
could be. Yeah,
they're like, wow, that she's too thick. Let's put something around there.
Yeah, you gotta have an accent. Yeah, of the costume. So Peter takes Edmund back to the retirement home, and his son is there named Greg, and Greg hooks up Star-Lord with a job as a bartender, which is the bar with no name, which is a bar that is full of villains and they can just hang out. It's like the Continental, like the John Wick Continental, but for villains.
Yeah.
Which is pretty fun.
I like never get sick of like this idea. Like there's always something just like this, you know,
a secret bar.
Wasn't there something else like this, like some sort of like supervillain bar or something? And some other book that we read, maybe.
It might have been this, but it was part of like Doctor Strange, right? There was like a magician or a wizard bar.
Oh, that's probably what I'm thinking. Yeah.
Yeah. It might have been this.
Oh, and there's also like fucking Watchmen. There's that one where they're trying to figure out like who killed the original Night Owl.
Oh, really?
Something like that.
I can't remember that.
I re-listened to that episode and I remember hearing that part.
Oh, okay.
But cool. Anyway.
Issue 3. Star-Lord's doing a real good job being a bartender and is even offered a full-time job, which is pretty cool. Peter runs into Daredevil, who's investigating a missing $4,000 from the robbery, but he ends up letting Peter go because he can tell he's not lying, which I always think is a fun aspect of Daredevil.
Yeah.
That he can just like, you know, hear someone's heart and be like, are they lying? So I like that Chip incorporates that aspect as part of his powers. It's also very clear that he's like really good at writing Daredevil, so I'm not surprised that he got the gig like later.
Yeah.
Because the action beats are really fun. Like he incorporates the little baton thing bouncing off a bunch of different...
Isn't it called like a Bowie stick or something?
A Bowie stick, yeah, something like that. So, pretty fun.
There's a lot of well-known villains in this bar. Like Javelin.
Diamond Head.
Diamond Head.
The Shocker. There's
Melter.
It's crazy when the Shocker's like the most famous villain in like the room.
Yeah. Like I just know the Javelin from like DC, but not this Javelin.
Yeah, I didn't know that there was a Marvel Javelin.
It's like Javelin, like L-Y-N-N.
Yeah, it's like a Robert Kirkman looking ass character.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Melter, which is just, he just melts things, I guess. I don't know.
That's a good power.
Yeah.
There's a dumb joke. So Star-Lord's like talking to the patrons, and Diamond Head is like, hey, did Bar-Lord just compare us to aliens?
That's such like a...
I was like, that's low hanging fruit right there.
Yeah, that's such a childish joke.
He's like, come on.
He probably hears that like 10 times a day.
No way.
Bar-Lord, yeah. That's pretty good. At Peter's apartment, he's met by his half-sister, blaming Peter for leaving a path of destruction in space with his adventures. And she leaves after thinking that he's a loser. And she's like, I'll hunt you again when you're back in space. Which is a weird interaction, I feel like. But there's a great shirtless scene. And he's wearing short shorts as well. So I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
That's probably like how he distracts us from like having to do like a bit of a exposition scene.
Right.
He's like, just make him shirtless and give him more abs. And people just won't mind.
Mm-hmm.
Or throw him some short shorts as well, you know?
Yeah, that too. There's... I just kind of wrote down all my favorite jokes.
Yeah.
Scene, he's calling Kitty Pryde. He's like, I know things are crazy with the ex mansion and the ex students and your ex responsibilities. And I just thought that was funny.
Yeah. He calls himself the XX or something, right?
Yeah, the XX.
Yeah, that's pretty good too. Peter's hanging out with Edmund and he notices that Edmund is like stacked with cash. And so he confronts him about it. And Edmund admits to stealing the money that was on the floor. And he gives Peter back like a part of it, which Peter returns in full, combined with the tip money that he's been earning from the bar. And gives it to Daredevil as long as Edmund is anonymous. And then Black Cat is doing some shit in the background. She takes Diamond Head hostage and cuts off his leg as well. So, But I kind of fuck with Edmund's like justification. Of stealing it, because he's like, the bank has like insurance, it'll be fine.
He's like, I didn't hurt nobody.
Yeah, I know. And I'm like,
it's like, that doesn't make it right, you know?
It doesn't, but you know, whatever. He's like, I'm 70 years old or whatever. Like, what do you think I care about being right?
Yeah.
And
And I guess Black Cat like owns that bar.
Yeah, Black Cat is the secret owner of the bar.
So that she can like hear people talk about like crimes and jobs they're going to do, and then she can just kind of bust them before
they do. Yeah, she's like, oh, I'll do that one before them, which is cool. But I think Chip does a really good job of making me interested in this Edmund character. Like, I think he could be just like at a very surface level, just like cranky old guy. Mm-hmm. But he does a really good job of incorporating things that affects Peter Quill, but also shows like Edmund's colors.
Yeah, it's not just like a thing where he like spends his time in order to serve like the community service.
Definitely. And I think he's always like really good at that with just characters that aren't like the focal point, having them be like a strong part of the story. So issue 4, we get the backstory on Edmund. And he's actually one of the first villains of Daredevil, and he uses an alien suit to rob the rich and give to the poor after his brother was killed by the rich, making him, the rich people were like making him reverse engineer this alien suit that they found.
Yeah.
And I think this explanation for the suit is so sick because it's like a suit that allows you to just like walk on air. You know, that's what it looks like. But really what's going on is that it can create like a perfect like still point in space. Mm-hmm. And so when they first like turn it on, it like shoots straight through like the wall because the earth is like moving, you know? Yeah. And so they figure out how to make it so that it's moving at like the same distance as earth. But when it creates like a perfect still point, it's just like frozen in time. So basically they are able to like walk or run through the air with the suit, which I think is really creative. I think it's a fun explanation.
Yeah, no, definitely.
And
he was known as the Silver Bandit.
Yeah, which is fun. But it's fun like learning more and more about this character like every issue. Like I enjoyed like the steady character development rather than the like alternative, which I feel like we see a lot where it's like, here's Edmund. He used to be, you know, what was his name again?
Silver Bandit.
He used to be like the Silver Bandit and then his brother died or whatever. Like we find this out 4 issues into the 6 issue story, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah.
At the bar, the Shocker's worried about Diamond Head because he hasn't heard from him in a while and that's his boy. So Peter investigates and finds out that he was kidnapped. So they track down the warehouse where Diamond Head is. And find his head completely severed from his body, but he's still alive. There's a bit where they have to like Uber to the warehouse.
Yeah.
Because Shocker doesn't have like a car, which I think is funny.
Yeah.
And the Uber driver's like, so this is like a surprise costume party? And Peter's like, sure.
Yep.
Yep. That works.
Dude, Daredevil's kind of thick.
Oh my God, he is.
Yeah.
Wow. I think Anka just can't draw somebody that's not thick. You know? Which is totally fine. They're attacked at the warehouse. Star-Lord is tied to a chair and Black Cat reveals that she's the actual owner of the bar and uses it to find the juicy heists. And she needs Star-Lord and Edmund to rob their richest customer because she motivates them because Greg, Edmund's son, is also taken hostage. It's also revealed that the bank heist in the beginning was orchestrated by Black Cat. So that's a fun little thing as well.
What?
The bank robbery?
It was?
Yeah.
Why? Just to
get some money. Yeah. She's delegating some of the hits. So issue 5, Peter and Edmund go to rob Javelin's house and Javelin's at the bar and Black Cat also put a bounty on Javelin's head for the rest of the villains. But Star-Lord sent Old Man Logan to the bar to protect Javelin and also sends Daredevil to go protect Greg. So he's got a whole lot going on here. But I like this bit where Logan goes into the bar with no name and his disguise is an eye patch.
Yeah.
Which I think is fun.
But he still has like his claws coming out right away.
Yeah. Yeah. He's still got his claws coming out. Wasn't he at the bar? No, that was a different bar they were at initially, right?
Different bar.
Okay. Once they find Javelin safe, like in the house, Black Cat ambushes Edmund and Star-Lord. Daredevil drops in to help and he's like, Greg's safe. I got him. So Peter chases after Black Cat, who tries to escape by jumping off a building, only to be caught by Edmund, who's like in the air. But the strain causes Edmund to fall many stories onto a car, which is a fucking crazy moment.
Yeah, I did not see this coming.
I was like, because there's the panel where he's like falling and he's like in silhouette. And I'm like, oh, he's going to like catch himself or something. And then he just like smashes into a car. This old man who's too old for this shit.
Yeah.
And he just like completely smashed into the car. I'm like, oh, fuck. And like the emotion like portrayed by Chris Anka on like Star-Lord's face as it's happening is like pretty unbeatable. Just really well paced scene, I think, because he's like holding Black Cat there, but he's clearly struggling because he hasn't done this in a while. And then she like kicks off of his face to make him fall and lose focus or whatever. So it's a really good scene. So issue 6, Edmund's dead. Mm-hmm. He's not even like, oh, I'm unstable in the hospital or whatever. He's just straight. He like died there, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And Peter goes to Edmund's funeral. He meets Edmund's ex-wife and like learns the value of trust or something. And he's later brought to Javelin's house, who offers to pay his fine that he owes since he sent Old Man Logan to save her at the bar. And she's also been sleeping with Old Man Logan since then.
Yeah, he spent the night and is wearing one of her robes.
Yeah, which is a funny bit as well. Like, he's just... I like that he's still like a Rizzler, you know? And it's funny with the context of like his whole family being like dead as well, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's from Old Man Logan. But also there's like a part where Peter thinks he's being seduced by Javelin and he's like, this fits like 3 of my bucket list scenarios. So, which is a funny joke. And then Javelin also enlists the help of Shocker and 8-Ball, who's an interesting villain throughout this.
Yeah.
But they are going to start a new bar with no name since the other one closed.
Mm-hmm.
This 8-Ball character gets shit on like the whole time, which is funny because they keep calling him like a magic 8-Ball and stuff. And he's like, well, maybe I should like, you know, lean into it. Maybe I should have like a power that, you know, or whatever that is like telling the future.
Yeah.
And then Brand from Alpha Flight helps him find Rocket to like have Peter say sorry for whatever happened. I don't really know what it was. It was like
he
tried to protect them by
leaving.
Yeah, by like ditching them somewhere to go like fight Thanos or something.
Something like that.
So, but the main point is that the Guardians are mad at him and they're not ready to stop being mad at him. Mm-hmm. So Rocket kind of like walks out on him, and Brand offers Peter Quill a job at Alpha Flight, I think.
No, they fix up his ship and tells him to leave.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Wait, where did they say they fix a ship?
Take your guns, get a ship, go get your friends.
Oh, okay.
So maybe not fix the ship, but...
But go get one?
Yeah.
How do you get one? They're on, like, the moon.
I'm sure they'll find that away.
Is there a ship dealer up there? Mm. I don't understand. There's also a really nice dialogue from, like, Daredevil, who's giving Greg some of Edmund's, like, stuff, which is, like, the suit. And there's, like, a really nice monologue about death as well, which is, like, really heartfelt. Which is pretty cool in like a series like this, you know?
Yeah.
It really shows that Chip has like a bit of range and can talk about some of the heavier stuff. So that was cool. But that's pretty much like the end of like this trade. And I consider the annual is kind of like back matter in a way. But so overall, I mean, the book's like a great example of like, if you're under a ton of continuity, you could still find a pretty great story in there.
Which is like what all books should kind of be.
This is like what all tie-ins or whatever should be. Like, it should be like,
it's not even a tie-in, it's just like a kind of a main book in a way.
Yeah, you're right, it is. It, they were all kind of like a part of just getting the Guardians split up to have like their own individual story. So there's like a Gamora one, a Drax one, a Rocket one.
Yeah,
but like with what he was given, he like totally nailed it, I think. Like,
yeah,
this is what I want to see in every book that's like, that includes like a character that's normally part of like a group. You know?
Couldn't have done it better.
Yeah. So
we're getting to Back Matter Matters.
Yeah.
Back Matter Matters.
There's an annual, which is like a space Western. It was kind of hinted at in issue 6.
With a bad dream.
There's like a bad dream or whatever that happens. Basically, he crash lands again on some other planet.
Western town.
A Western planet town, alien town. He accepts a job from the sheriff there to pay off the ship repair fees. He like helps fight off Greylight, who's like a gang leader for this town. And he like encourages the whole city to like take charge or whatever. Don't take a shit anymore.
He kind of looks like Gore with a hat.
Watch out, it's Gore with a hat. It kind of does, yeah. It might even be Gore with a hat. I don't know.
Potentially.
Hulk is there for some reason. I thought he was dead. Apparently he's just in space. I can't remember what happened there, but Hulk's there.
Yeah, it was just some guy, but he had like this mask on or something.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter Quill recognized him. and he just happened to be walking by at the right moment where he like was taunting him, and then he caused him to like Hulk out and save him.
Yeah. And there's some space horses. I love those. Love seeing them.
I just thought they're normal horses.
No. Why would there be normal horses in an alien planet?
I just didn't even think about it that long.
They have like 8 ears and 4 eyes.
That's true. Yeah. And they're more blue. Like, they're more like space donkeys.
They do kind of look like space donkeys. And, but actually everything might've been a dream because he wakes up in his ship with the Guardians.
And then, it's not super important or anything, but you remember like when he first gets there and he goes to like the bar or whatever.
Mm-hmm. The saloon.
And then there's that like bartender with like the facial hair and the bowler hat.
Yeah.
And then like at the end of this, he's like, that same guy pops up after he kills the bad guy. He's like, "You killed my son." And I'm like, "What?"
I didn't even realize that was the same guy.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck do you mean?
I think I read this issue over like 2 days, so I just completely forgot who that guy was.
He's like, "I will not forget this, Peter Quill." I'm like,
what a random just like
but character you killed him, to set up. My son. Yeah, I know. I'm like, so you're just letting, you're having your son collect
the debt from everybody in the city, making them miserable.
I guess that kind of makes sense, but then it's also kind of hinting at that this guy will come back at some point.
I guess so.
Maybe, but
whoever this is.
Yeah, so it was an annual.
Yeah, for sure. And also in the back matter, we got some covers, including the hip hop variant by Bill Sienkiewicz.
Pop quiz, what album is this?
I don't know. Oh, wait, no, I do. It's Kid Cudi, right?
Yeah, which one? The answer's in the album. Like, you can see it from the... Like, you can't see it, but like...
Star-Lord.
What? So what's in this picture?
The moon.
What else?
Star-Lord.
And what is Star-Lord?
A guardian of the galaxy.
More basic.
Human?
What kind of human?
Terran.
The same thing.
A male?
Correct. And so...
Male moon. Male moon.
He's technically...
Human male.
What is his connection to the moon in this picture?
Stars?
What?
I don't know.
It's called Man on the Moon.
Oh. Is it normally like Kid Cudi's face?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Is this the one that has day and night?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And Memories? Is that one of his songs?
Probably.
That would Pursuit be of Happiness. Best Memories.
Oh, yeah.
That one.
And we get a
action
figure variant, your favorite.
I don't like these, but
this is kind of cool.
I do like this one because it's got him with a beard and him without a beard, and then also his two guns, Clarence and whatever. He like names his guns.
He's got his new suit.
His new suit, which is pretty cool.
I just want this action figure. Like, how is this so hard? The variants are cooler than your actual toys.
Of dollars to create action figures of characters that they would never create action figures for. I don't understand.
Right. There's dumber things
that they make action figures for. Was way better back in the day, though. Like, at least there was like a theme, you know, to like
what, the Contest of Champions one. You think that one's so cool?
Yeah, that one's so cool, Daniel. There's a Chip Zdarsky variant, obviously. Top tier all the time.
Sick.
There's an animation variant. Chris Stevens makes one, which is pretty cool.
Sick throwback costume.
Yeah, it makes it look like it's a very like old timey sci-fi movie or something.
This Marguerite Savage one's cool.
Also pretty cool. Frazier Irving makes it seem like very disco.
Very funky.
But yeah, I feel like the themed variants that were across the whole line are just a lot more fun, you know? And they don't really do that anymore, it feels like.
But yeah, it's just kind of...
They do like Venomized variants or whatever, or like the Disney ones, but it doesn't feel like it has the same energy. That was like
2017.
No, they're still doing those, I'm pretty sure.
The Venomized ones?
Yeah, I think so. Or like they have Alex Ross variants, but it's like just the character with like a white background.
Oh, yeah. Like,
you've seen those?
It's a little lazy.
It is kind of lazy.
But then again, it probably took like days.
It probably did, which is, you know, I love Alex Ross. He's great.
Yeah, it's amazing.
But it's kind of confusing because it's like a blank cover or like there's no dress. And so like Sophie went with me to the comic shop 1 week and she saw one that had like Elektra on there.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, "Oh, an Elektra book." And I'm like, "I don't think there's an Elektra book out right now." And it was Daredevil. But it wasn't like Elektra as Daredevil. It was just like Elektra in her normal suit. Mm-hmm. And so I could see how someone would pick that up and then be all of a sudden Daredevil 9, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, you should probably look at it, you know, because like you have that.
That should be required. Like it's it on the shouldn't. Back. Yeah, it's on the back cover. It's like Daredevil 9 or whatever. But yeah. I'm not looking at the back cover most of the time.
Yeah. But if you like are looking at something you're like, ooh, what is this? You got to know what it is. And then like if it's a number one, like it's even like a starting point for you, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
But anyway,
he came out with like an apocalypse one today and his lips are so blue in that variant.
I can't remember what variant I saw last time I was at the shop. But I remember liking it, I think. But
anyway, my point is bring back the hip hop variants or do metal.
Dude, they have all the hip hop variants like in like a trade and I want it so bad. That'll be something I'm like looking for in a at Comic-Con. Yeah, they collect them all like in a trade.
How many were there?
There is like 50, I think. There's a lot.
So it's like an oversized floppy kind of deal?
It's like, yeah.
Or does it have like a spine?
It has a spine.
Really? That's cool.
And so you can just have them all. And then they'll show the one that they compare it to, you know?
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, so, do that shit again. That's fun.
Yeah, so I want that really bad. Because like, I think I tried looking it up and it was like overpriced, you know? Like it was inflated or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, Nathan, what do you rate this book?
Ooh, what's a good comparison to how I'd rate this book? I'd give it a gotta have it, I think.
Okay.
I think it would be a little bit better if there was like some of the continuity stuff like not in there. I think if they were just like, do Star-Lord, do whatever you want to do, you know,
mm-hmm.
there might be a little bit more. But just like it's pretty impressive that this book is as good as it is, I think.
Yeah.
Because of, you know, these characters that he's introducing that I've never heard of. I don't even know if he created them or whatever. Like Edmund, you know?
Oh, probably.
But if not, like, it's just so impressive to me that, like, he just gets us to, like, care so much about, like, a particular character and how he develops them and stuff like that. And just some of the fun ideas, a lot of really fun jokes. It's just, like, exactly what I wanted in a book like this. So it's a gotta have it. But the ice cream is, like, I don't know. Help me out here. What's the ice cream?
I was thinking, like, a rainbow sherbet almost.
Okay.
Or, like, what's that other colorful one? It's like,
there's like that Superman one.
Yeah, there's something else, something more colorful, like
Neapolitan.
No, maybe it's cotton candy. There's like cotton candy where it's like really pink, okay. Or something.
I'll give it Neapolitan, I think.
Okay, that's a good one.
Because it's like, you know, it's got all the elements that I like, you know.
Yeah.
But they're put together in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I rate it.
I give it like a pretty loaded love it. You know, with the rainbow sherbet. And then I'm just going to assume that a lot of things mixed in it work really well.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, like all the fruit flavored things that would work in there.
Totally.
So I think I leave like the gotta have it stuff to like the high rereadability, you know, like I would definitely reread this. But, you know, some things I'm just like, I could see myself reading it like every couple of years. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And this was good and very satisfying. And I loved,
what was the last gotta have it
for me?
Yeah.
Like Southern Bastards.
Okay.
So,
well, that doesn't count. Cause that's an amazing book. Well,
what do you mean?
I don't know. I feel like there's some gotta have it that you've rated or like very highly rated, food things.
Ant-Man. I think I gave that a gotta have it.
New Frontier probably as well. Okay. Fair. Fair enough.
Yeah. Cause like, Ant-Man, that's like self-contained.
Incredible. Yeah.
Great throughout the years.
Great idea.
And so, and it's short. So mm-hmm. it's good to just kind of pick it up, flip through it in an afternoon.
Yeah, not a commitment.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. Then let's get into the pull list, colon.
Shove it in the box.
The pull list. What did you shove in your box?
In your box specifically. Daniels.
Before we get into this, I was looking at stuff that was coming out this week, and I saw a cover that was for Clobberin' Time number 2.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
I think I did. I saw two different covers.
I'll show you it.
I saw one that looked pretty fun, and I was like, ooh, that
Do you see this?
Yeah.
Look at it. Like, pull it close, because that makes me, like, sick to my stomach.
That is disgusting.
It's so disturbing. Like, it's like body horror almost.
Yeah, his like flesh is coming off.
Yeah, it's fucking gross.
For audio listeners, it's you know, the little rocks on the thing,
the little tiles that he has, or whatever,
tiles, they're coming off, but there's still flesh attached to each tile.
Yeah.
And I totally did see this, and I was like, oh no, the thing's coming apart. That's fun.
Like, if I look at that too long, my stomach hurts.
Even his head.
Yeah.
Like his brain, it seems like.
Yeah. There is this...
That's awful, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm sure it's a great book, and I think it's a fun idea, but it like looks like too good to where it's like gross.
You also see Wolverine Bone.
Wolverine Bone? I don't give a shit about.
Wasn't there a bit in the Star-Lord book where...
Yeah, what?
Was there a bit that I remember in the Star-Lord book that we just read where Old Man Logan's like drinking milk or something, and he's like... It's good for your bones. And then Sora was like, your bones are made of metal.
Yeah.
That was a good bit too.
But anyway, like, so this, that cover, it reminds me of this part in Game of Thrones. There's something called like grayscale. And so it's like this disease that you could get by touch. And then like the gray men had it. And they were like basically these like lizard like people.
Sure.
And it's like almost like you caught like whatever Killer Croc has or whatever.
Oh, okay.
And so they'd get this like stony, like skin that would you'd eventually like lose your mind and whatnot, and most people are killed when they see that they have it. And this guy that is like a pretty important character like gets it, and one of the like doctors or whatever, he like researches on how to get rid of it, and really the only way he can come up with is by like slicing it off. Ooh. And then like burning it or like something,
filleting it
kind yeah of like filleting it, like, oh, slicing gross it off. And it's like the grossest thing. Like, literally the grossest thing I've ever seen. But I, like, love it, you know? And it's funny because they transitioned that into, like, a pot pie being eaten or something. And it looks gross. Just, it looks just like it.
Yeah.
I couldn't... That was, like, the one thing that I couldn't wait for Sarah to see when we were rewatching it.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, that just reminds me of that. And it just, like,
yeah, dude,
started a whole body horror thing for me to where I'm like, ugh, I hate this, you know?
I hate the idea of, like, getting cut. Or like stabbed.
Sure.
I'd rather be shot.
I'd rather get stabbed than get grayscale, you know?
Yeah, I guess.
Or you know what also freaks me out? You remember that show Family Tree? Or no, the
comic?
Book?
Yeah.
Family Tree. So in like Grey's Anatomy, there was like something like that. Grey, okay. Let me look it up. Hold on.
Are you telling me that Jeff Lemire is biting Grey's Anatomy?
He sure is.
Oh, shit.
So there's this dude who has this like tree skin. It's like a skin condition where his like skin becomes bark like, you know, and it's something that they have to deal with. And I like couldn't finish that fucking episode. So this is like what happens to the dude. And it's like more severe in certain places. And it's like really fucking gross. And he like refused to go to the hospital for like years because it gotten so bad. He like wouldn't leave the house and shit.
Is this real?
Maybe. I don't know.
I felt like Grey's Anatomy tried to be more grounded. But this is like if Grey's Anatomy was like in space.
Maybe.
This is what this looks like.
Yeah. I'm sure there's things that are similar to it. But like I remember seeing that. I'm like, that's just like Family Tree. And then that was much more awful. I can't even remember if they like fixed it or not.
Oh, okay. Crazy.
But it was fucking gross.
Anyway, Dana, what did you pick up from the comic shop this week?
Oh, there's like a real guy who has it. Never mind.
Does it look bad?
Looks pretty gross.
I want to see.
Okay, hold on. Ew. Sorry.
Whoa.
Isn't that fucking crazy?
Dude, he's like an actual Last of Us. Like,
right? Yeah, he's a fucking patient clicker.
Zero. It looks like... Oh, yeah, that's pretty gross.
I would what like fucking chop off my fingers,
what is
dude
it called?
I don't know. I'm sure there's like an actual term for it. But yeah, just shit like growing on your skin is so gross to me.
It's just called Tree Man Syndrome.
Okay, good name.
Epiderma dysplasia.
I knew there was probably a real name for it.
Verusiformis.
Oh, three names.
It's called EV. No, that's two names. Epiderma dysplasia verusiformis EV, or the Tree Man Syndrome. That's crazy.
Yeah, so.
How is there not like a weird horror thriller or something involving that?
There is. There's a whole episode of it.
Yeah, I guess you're right. They explored that.
But anyway, there's... What's the furthest place from here? Number 12.
Yeah.
We got the Hulk, number 14. Ryan Otley's still on that. I don't know.
I think that's the last one.
We've been saying that for like 3 months.
And I'll say it again next week or next month.
We got Doom Patrol, number 2.
Yes, sir.
And Ambassadors, number 3.
Yep. I picked up those in addition to Blue Book, number 3.
Uh-huh.
Green Arrow, Dawn of DC, number 1.
Juan?
And... The number one of what's that? The movie with the xenomorphs?
Alien?
Yes. I picked up number one of that.
The movie with those like alien creatures?
Where's the one? Like, yeah.
That. How did you get to Xenomorph before Alien?
That's just a bit. I wrote down Alien bit. I didn't even pick up the book, honestly. I just wanted to say that bit.
So. Oh my God. I was about to say, I'm like, why just getting it now? Because there was a whole run before this.
No, there's like a new number one that came out. It's the one written by Declan Shelby.
Right. I just saw that.
Yeah.
Did you read anything new?
I did. I read Ambassadors number 3 today.
Okay.
It's drawn by this dude named Travis Charest, I think is his name.
Yeah, that's like his first full-length comic.
In like years, like I over think a ever. Decade. No, he's a really good artist, but I think he's done some comics. I think Miller...
Did he do that cover?
He did do the cover, yeah.
That's a good cover.
Yeah, really good. He's really good artist as well. Like you could tell that he's not typically like a comic book artist because of the like expression and stuff that he does. But he's really good at it.
Okay.
Have you read any of the book yet?
Yeah, I read 1 and 2.
Okay. What do you think of it so far?
I loved 1. 2 is pretty good. I hope it's not a Nacho series because I liked number 1 so much.
I did like number 1 a lot, but this has very big Nacho series potential.
Oh, man.
For those that don't listen, every episode of Nacho series is when a book starts out really good, but all the good ideas are just kind of in the beginning and then it drags out and then the chips become soggy.
I like almost wanted to reread the first one.
Dude, I know. It was so good because Quietly is fucking banger.
Yeah, like that, right? His artwork is like incredible, but it's just like how it plays out and like just all the ideas are just really fun, you know? And it's like really good.
Yeah, so, I like it as well.
So I just don't know how he's going to like wrap it up.
I don't either.
Because it's only 6 issues, I think.
Yeah. So like a part of it, this isn't like a spoiler, but like a part of the whole concept is when the people are selected for the powers. I don't really know how they're selected either. Like, I don't know what the process is still.
Applications.
Yeah, but it's like, I don't know. Anyway, they can choose 3 powers to have.
Yeah.
With like this little wristband or something that they have.
There's some room with like a bunch of balls and each ball has like a different power. And then you can just have 3. But if one person has one of the ones that you want, then you can't use it.
You can't use it, which is kind of fun. But
I don't like that you can change it.
You could just change it whenever. And it happens like 100 times in number 3.
Really?
Yeah. And I'm like, these people just have whatever power, you know?
As long as other people aren't using it.
I wish they had to like choose it or they were like assigned, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like that would make it so that I remember what each person does.
Right, rather than
them just pretty much having everything. I assume there's a reason for that being the case, like maybe someone would really need flight and someone like just took it, you know, or something.
Right. Or like you don't have to have like a Flash that's like falling from the sky or whatever.
Yeah,
like he can get like the flying power, you know, to save himself or whatever.
Yeah,
so it could work. Hopefully it's like this is a case where it works.
Yeah, but in this issue they were like doing something and they're like, oh, I'll just download this one real quick and then I'll get rid of this one. And then, oh, this is happening. I'll just download this one. It seems like Miller's a better writer than to just do that all the time. So I'm going to wait and see what he does with it. But if it's still just like a lot of that, like going forward, just from like the idea perspective, this is definitely like a Nacho series. But the artist on this is pretty incredible.
Okay.
I like the story that's there as well. Just like the characters and who they are. I'm just a little bit worried about the power set thing. So
is like
that's my only criticism of it so far.
Is the third issue just like another person is selected and that's it?
Yeah.
All right.
But it's better than issue 2.
Okay. Not saying that issue 2 is bad.
It's no, just issue 2 is really good. I really like the artist on that one too.
It's just kind of a stepping stone kind of thing. And you got to get an idea of like more of the rules
There's
to this
clearly
universe.
Stuff happening outside of just those characters too.
It was just like a bit of a step down from what number 1 was, you know?
Yeah, I would hate to be the artist that follows up Frank Quietly.
Oh, I'd be like, are you shitting me?
I'm like, can I have like issue 3 maybe?
Can you get like fucking 4 or something?
That's a really, I wonder what that conversation would have been like with whoever that was.
Yeah.
In issue 2. But no, there's still like an idea of like the macro story happening.
Okay.
Because like there's like the husband that trying to like get information from people and stuff like that and how they're choosing people. So there's more of that. I'm going to keep with it for a while, I think, until it pisses me off. But
it's only 6 issues.
Yeah. I also read Phantom Road number 2.
Oh, yeah.
Don't know what's happening in that book, but it's fun.
That's good.
They try to like explain the world and they have a guy that's like, I know how this, you know, universe works, but I just can't tell you. You got to figure it out for some strange reason. And I'm like, okay, whatever. But he starts to explain why there's like these zombie phantom people, and he uses it. He explains it using like salt, and he like pours salt on a table, and there's like a line, and he's like, this is your universe. And then he pours like another salt, and he's like, this is our universe I've been in right now. And then he like merges, he like smears the two lines of salt together, and he's like, this is where we are. And I'm like, what does that mean? And so I don't really understand what's happening. Like, I know what merging, the characters
merging verse.
And then he's like, you have a thing in your truck, you just got to take that east, and then you'll figure out what to do with it. I'm like, why is this man so vague right now? But pretty good so far. I don't know. I like it.
Okay.
And I also read like a trade.
Cool.
Called Eat the Rich.
Oh, yeah. You've been talking about that.
I had started reading it. I only read like half of the first issue. I like could not sleep last night. I think it's because I took a nap right after work.
Ah, that probably
did.
So
I was like, man, I can't sleep.
How long did your nap?
Like, I didn't even think that I did nap, but Sophie said that I was snoring. So apparently I had napped for like
good nap
for like one episode of From, which is a show that she's been watching.
From?
Yeah.
Where are they from?
I don't know.
What's it about?
I don't know. She told me.
What's it on?
It's on Amazon Prime. Anthony and Joe Russo executive produce it. So Sophie seems to like it. Huh. It's kind of like a thriller series. I can't even begin to try to explain what it is.
All right. Nap. Or no.
Eat the Rich.
What? Eat the Rich.
So yeah, it's like five issues. It's about this girl who starts to date this person that's like super rich, and they go like off to like a retirement party because like the dude's family is super rich. Okay. And they're doing a retirement party for one of their workers, and their workers are like people that are not rich. They are like servants essentially to them.
Yeah.
But they treat them very well. And okay. So it's a retirement party. But since there's a lot of like really rich people, she feels like she's like underdressed and like they're judging her and stuff like that. And like, is she good enough to be part of the family or whatever? So she goes out to get some air, and she witnesses the dad of the dude that she's dating eat the person that has just retired. And so she's like, what the fuck is that? And then you come to realize, I'm just going to spoil the whole thing.
Sure. Would you not recommend it?
I thought it was really
okay.
I thought it was good. No, I do. I think it ended in a way that didn't resolve it necessarily.
Okay. All right, let's hear it.
But the artist is like a Lithuanian artist who's really good.
Okay.
Like so good. It definitely carried the book for me. Like that's, the letter is really good. And the artist is like from Russia. Like these are all people I just don't know of. And so I was really like fascinated by the art first and foremost.
Wait, who's from Lithuania?
The artist and the colorist is from like Russia.
Is Lithuania in Russia?
No, Lithuania is its own thing.
Okay.
Not Russia.
Who's from Lithuania?
The artist. Pencils.
I thought they're from Russia.
Artist is from Lithuania. He's the person that does the lines.
Colorist and letter from Russia.
The colorist is from Russia. I don't know where the letters is from.
I figured out.
Some other corner of the world. I don't know.
Yeah.
But they were like really good. Like, and like, so basically the idea is that the servants for like this rich family sign a contract that they're going to get eaten when they retire. But they decide to sign up for that because their life is like pretty much set for them. Like as they're working for these people. And mm-hmm. So the main character who's dating the rich dude, she becomes friends with one of the servants who admits that she signed the contract because she has like multiple diseases and like healthcare is like super unaffordable, right? In like America for what she needs to do on top of like different conditions that she has. And she just had a kid kind of stuff. She didn't have a kid, but she's the babysitter for them. But like she decides to sign up because everything will be covered like health wise. She's able to get like the medication and stuff. And she phrases it as like, I'd rather do this and have like many good days rather than live a long life and not be able to pay for the insurance that like health insurance that I need.
Sure.
And have like kind of like live in agony kind of deal. And the book kind of fucks with me because I'm like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then you think about it and you're like, no, that's fucked up. She should just have like the health care available to her to have a normal life, you know? And she shouldn't need to like, you know, depend on people that are rich that are like taking advantage of her essentially.
Yeah, the system is definitely very broken.
Yeah, but and like, so that's like kind of the underlying message is that the rich people eat you know, at, like, they take advantage of, like, people that work for them.
Right.
There's also, like, an element where after you eat a person, you have to, like, keep eating a person or else you starve.
Okay.
And she gets secretly fed, like, a person. And so she's already just part of the family because she's now, like, unable to leave.
Hmm.
And it ends with, like, they have to eat the rich in order to, like, break the system or something. Oh. And they gather all of the servants and they like attack all the rich people to eat the rich. And the, like, the message there, I understand, because it's like we can stop some of these systems if we all like band together and like unionize or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Good message. I just the sci-fi element part of it wasn't like resolved. The metaphor is good, but like I don't understand how eating the rich solved that, you know?
Yeah.
From like a base level story. But the
well, then they are like cured or whatever.
Apparently, I don't know, but they didn't explain that very well, you know?
Well, you got it.
I that's what I assume happened.
Did you ever watch any of the Purge movies?
Yeah, the first one. A long time ago.
Did you see that one where, like, it was, like, a black girl that was living with, like, her mom and, like, her grandpa?
I don't think so.
Okay, so her grandpa, like, sold, like, himself so that a rich family can just, like, slaughter him on like Purge Day.
Okay.
And then like his family would like just get like a bunch of money.
Cool.
And he was like, you know, old on his way out. And it's just kind of like a way for rich people to like survive the purge because it's in their house in the safety of their home.
Oh, okay.
And then just like slaughter somebody.
So they don't have to like go out and slaughter somebody.
Right.
They can do it in the safety of their
home.
They
just order one. They just postmates a person to slaughter.
That's basically. Nice.
And so that just kind of reminds me of that.
Yeah. Yeah. So like the book, honestly, like the artists, it felt like the artist was like a mix between like Doc Shaner and Chris Somney in like a way.
That sounds like
with good. Like the colorist being apt to like Matt Wilson. Like there's a lot of really interesting visual elements in there.
So flip through the book. Don't read it.
I don't know. It's good. Okay. I would say I just wouldn't like tell someone to go read it, I guess.
Sure.
I wouldn't be like, this is amazing. You have to read it, you know, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So that was just something I read this week.
I read Doom Patrol. Number one.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah, really good stuff.
I didn't realize Crazy Jane was like the chief.
Yeah, I didn't. Well, that's like a new
Crazy Jane.
That's like a new personality or something.
Okay. Yeah.
I guess. I think that's part of the
I was like, what happened to the chief? But I'm like, do I care? Probably not.
Dude, who's the artist again? Chris Burnham?
Yeah.
Is that what it is? He draws Robot Man so well.
Like a perfect Robot Man. Yeah.
Like just like the shading on like the eyes and the different like mechanical parts. I'm like, this looks so good.
Robot ink set's really good too.
Yeah.
That like really gives it such a different flavor for the book. And it's really good.
And I like how they phrase like how they're different from what like Batman's doing because they're trying to like take these people that normally would just be thrown in Arkham and have them like rehabilitated.
Or like they go to like to be like Suicide Squad and they like die or some shit.
Yeah, exactly. And so I'm like, that's an interesting point. So,
yeah, so
it's pretty fun. So
pretty
far.
Good. I'll keep going with that. I'll keep going with Ambassadors. Read that new Guardians of the Galaxy book. Did you read that?
No, I still haven't picked it up. What does it look like? Can you show me the cover?
I got a Scotty Young cover. So,
oh, shit.
It's the one with like
there's a Guardians book that came out this week as well, like a number one. Okay, and so I was a little confused.
Not that. Okay. So, is that one that you showed me where like the Western one?
Yeah, I want the Western
where
one.
Where like I almost got that, but I'm like, Scotty,
you got to get Scotty anywhere you can, but yeah.
This one, I was like super torn by it. So I read that pretty good. I liked it. It was fun. Really fun ideas. I just don't think I'm going to keep going with it.
Okay.
I think if...
What are the ideas? You know, what are the... What's the thing?
Go read it.
Okay, I guess I will.
So this one, it kind of sets up the rest of like a trade or potentially the rest of that series. But most of it is just them saving like a species from like a... Well, I guess it's like a little town from this planet that was like doomed.
Yeah. Okay.
And so Mantis is in it. Nebula is in it.
Is there a spaceship that is a temple that is hurtling towards the sun?
Nope. Unfortunately, no. So
it's not the best Guardians book.
You got to deal with that. So,
okay.
So I read that. I read the Blue Book 1 and 2.
Oh, okay.
Really great artwork. That
I
like,
know.
The blue thing that you're talking about is awesome. I like how it's like multiple kinds of blue, not just one blue.
Yeah, because with like Darth Vader Black, White, and Red came out today. I almost picked it up.
Oh, yeah. That looks sick.
Yeah, like Peach Momoko is on one. I flipped through like some of those pages to see if I was like really considering picking it up, but I didn't.
Already do one of those?
They did.
Like a Darth Vader one?
No, this is the first one, I think.
Okay.
I think there's a later one that Daniel Warren Johnson's going to be part of, maybe. But yeah, I think if you're going to do that, if you're going to have like the very basic color scheme where it's like black, white, and another color, you have to have multiple of the actual color.
Yeah. So I think the artwork was like the best part. Michael Avon Oeming's goated. Mm-hmm. The backup stories were like the weird tales or whatever, and they were kind of weird. But
I still don't know if those are like based off real stories as well. I assume they are just because of the nature of the Blue Book. But
I think I'm going to drop it because I don't think it's... Because you get like just a few of the main Blue Book pages, you know, mm-hmm. which is like the best part. But the book's like $5 an issue. So
yeah, it's up there.
It's not... the like $5 is like nothing. Like I put that on like a dumb bet today, you know? So,
So now you can make one more dumb bet.
Yeah. Dumb bets. I have a different scale for how much to spend, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
I started reading Goodnight Poon Poon.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Has Parker ever talked to you about that book?
He's tried to get me to read it lots of times. Yeah. And I said no, because it's backwards. That
book is super heavy.
Like, I've heard.
Really, really fast.
Yeah.
I thought it was something that was going to have like a sad ending or something. But no, it's like pretty heavy like right off the back.
Okay.
Do you get like the concept?
I think he's told me, but I don't know. I couldn't tell you what it is right now.
And so it's just a boy in high school named Pun Pun. Mm-hmm. And this boy is portrayed as like this...
Like a little bird.
Like 2D bird. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't like talk or anything. But like people like understand him, like, but he doesn't have like his own speech bubbles. The adults are super weird in this. Like I could show you like some of the pages and you're just like, what the fuck are they doing? Okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Damn, you're pretty deep in there. Halfway?
Just about. Yeah. Oh, this is the fucking back.
You're like, I don't remember these pages at all.
I'm like, oh yeah, I remember that bit.
You're so American thinking that, you know, it goes from left to right.
So,
all right, let's see this weird looking.
These are adult. Like two. This is like a principal and some teacher, and they're about to play hide and seek for some reason in this page.
Yeah.
And just like their faces are just really weird.
They look like Titans from Attack on
Titan.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, I think I remember seeing that as like a thing.
It's just like unsettling, you know?
Mm-hmm. Because adults are scary sometimes, I guess.
Yeah. So. The writer is like this guy.
Oh.
Right? He puts his face on there.
That's cool. That's ballsy.
And sometimes Pun Pun like talks to God.
And it's just the writer?
It's just the writer. He puts himself in there.
That's hilarious.
Isn't that so funny?
I wish like Chip did that in this book.
Yeah, he'd be great at it. Oh shit, my fucking finger's in the way.
Get your Shrek hands out of the way.
Yeah, he prays and like his uncle like taught him how to pray or whatever. And that guy shows up, but his uncle doesn't even like believe in God, but he actually just talks to God whenever he wants.
That's hilarious. You know?
But
that's a good bit.
Yeah, it's just kind of like it explains like it's like a little slice of life in a way. It's just a boy that's kind of like growing up. He's like 13 or 14, maybe, or maybe 12 or something. And so he's just like growing up and the things that you're kind of exposed to as like a child through like your friends and things like that. And just kind of traumatic things that can happen as like a child. Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty good.
Recommend?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't think you'd like it right now.
Okay. If you like it by the end, I'll read it.
There's 7 of those.
Well, I'll read the first one.
Okay. I'll let you know by the end of this one.
Yeah.
So I read that. Did you watch anything?
I didn't watch anything, but I played a new video game.
Which is that?
It's called Dead Island 2.
Oh, I saw that come out. Is it fun?
It's pretty fun.
Zombie game?
Zombie game. You're on like an island. And
The dead are there?
There's some dead people there.
Okay.
And they're alive though. Because they're zombies. No, I don't really know what the story is, to be honest. Like, I skipped through the opening cinematic because I just wanted to get to the point where you could play with friends. But you're in, like, this very, like, high-income area of, like, the island. Like, a bunch of rich people are there.
Cool.
The game is different from other zombie games.
Because it's on an island.
Because it's on an island. Actually, it's really not when you think about it.
It's during the day.
It's a typical zombie game, But I really enjoyed the first one because there's like a crafting system that's pretty well. It's not like super annoying. Like,
what are you crafting?
You can like add like electric mods to weapons or like explosive mods to weapons.
Cool. Does this one have that?
It does. Okay. And like your weapons break, which is normally really annoying, but you can just fix them.
Okay.
And on like the workbenches and stuff. What I like about it is just like the scenarios that they put you in.
Like,
there's one of the ones in the beginning is you're like trying to go find something, but you end up finding this like Hollywood star named like Curtis, and you clear the zombies out of his house and he's like, all right, let me come down and I'll get you what you need. And there's a point where, you know, those like how old people like have those chairs that like help them down the stairs.
Yeah.
There's a part where he's getting on one of those chairs. He's coming down the stairs, but you have to defend him from like a bunch of zombies that are like coming in as he's like trying to come down. And I just like really enjoy that scenario. Or there's also really good like implied stories in the environment, which I think is good because it makes it fun to like actually explore and like look at things. So there's like this YouTuber house called like the Goat House. You know how like YouTubers have like houses good or something name, sometimes? Yeah. It's really fun. Like, it was really fun like looking around that house because they have like a whole podcast like set up, podcast studio set up. Mm-hmm. You can like listen to like little audio clips that you can find around. And like one of them was they were doing an episode and a zombie like comes in and like eats them. And so you're just like listening to that as like a podcast episode.
Yeah.
You eventually like find the podcasters in there. But like you just the things that you can discover as you're like looking around is probably like the funnest part. And I think they do that really well, like better than other zombie games, you know? And so I enjoy the aspect of it. We're not very far at all, but like
it's so it's just like fun. a co-op campaign or
co-op campaign if you want it to be. It can also be single player. There's like main missions, but you can do the side missions and stuff. You get like weapons if you do the side missions.
Is there any kind of matchmaking or is it just like
it's just a co-op campaign like story game?
Cool.
So pretty fun.
I was flipping through like games that you can like just download from like the store and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And I was just trying to like remember like games. Like they have like, yeah, like what did I like playing? Like they have like Skate, like,
oh yeah,
1 and 2 and stuff.
There's a
and,
new Skate coming out pretty soon. So that's cool.
I never played Skate 3, so I might like
what? Yeah, you did.
I played 1 and 2 like really hard, but I like never got Skate 3 because really? Skate 2 is like a little bit too much for me.
Okay.
Skate 1 is a perfect game.
I would say that about Skate 2, but continue.
Skate 2, when you're like on this like super duper jumbo ramp thing and you got to do like 60 backflips or whatever in
even
order to
flow.
But like when it gets like that crazy, like where it's just literally not possible. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Dude, I remember before I sold my Xbox 360, I like played Skate 2. Or maybe Skate 1 for like one last time because I'm like, this game is so much fun. And I just like played for like an hour or something.
Yeah, it's a good game.
And then I might do like Star Wars like Unleashed or Force Unleashed.
Okay.
Because I never played those. Those might be fun. Mm-hmm. And then like KOTOR. But I'm like, I can fucking wait until Jedi Survivor comes out before I get to those, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, should I? It's only $10. But I watched Murder Mystery 2.
Didn't you talk about that last week?
No, that was a couple weeks ago, and that was Murder Mystery 1.
Oh, okay.
And you asked me if I was going to watch 2.
Okay.
I was concerned because number 1 was so good, I thought number 2 couldn't possibly be as good. And it was still really good. Not as good as the first one, but like the same writer, who is like a dude who does like writes like heist stuff. And so yeah, it was really good. It was
nice.
A clean hour and a half, and I don't think it was quite as funny as the first one, but still solid. Yeah,
okay, that's cool. That's so fascinating to me that it's like a genuinely good movie.
Yeah, you know? Watch the first one. You would like it. Yeah,
that's cool.
Mark Strong is in this one, and like he's like this
is
like
he the villain.
He's like this Marine dude who like is like an investigator, and he comes like. They're on like this private island. He like comes out of the water and I see his bald head and something about the shape of his head. I'm like, is that Mark Strong?
Dude, it's like,
and then he takes his mask off or whatever. And I'm like,
it's like
it
more
is.
Narrow.
Yeah. Right. And so, and it was, and he's like, he's a delight.
Dude, it'd be really fun to try and guess bald people from like the top of their bald ass head.
That's definitely Jason Statham.
Yeah. Or you'd be like, yeah, that's,
The Rock.
Yeah. The Rock.
Vin Diesel.
Fucking Patrick Stewart.
Bruce Willis.
Yeah, like I feel like I could guess all their fucking bald ass heads.
We should make that a game.
That would be so fun. Baldle.
When I edit this, I'll remember to make it. So what do we think? Not eyebrows, but forehead up?
Yeah. Okay. Just above eyebrows, okay. I think. And I feel like I'd be able to get most.
So it should be current. Right?
Current pictures?
So not like a young
Bruce Willis.
I guess
Willis,
if they're right? I get young Bruce Willis has hair, so
I think prime of their fame or current.
So do you think like maybe like Pulp Fiction? Bruce Willis.
Pulp Fiction, Bruce Willis. I would be able to get.
So it's not too wrinkly or whatever.
Yeah. Or who's another good bald person?
Like I'm pretty Howie Day? Was that his name?
Howie Mandel.
Yeah.
I would be able to get him, I think, too. Probably the voice, Howie. Maybe not like Deal or No Deal, Howie. I feel like
it's got to be Deal or No Deal, Howie.
I don't know if I'd be able to get that, though.
Really?
I feel like I've seen more Howie Mandel from like the voice clips recently, or not the voice, wherever he's on. America's Got Talent.
The voice. Or both?
I don't know. Who knows what that guy's doing?
Anyway. But yeah, good movie.
Yeah.
Also saw Renfield.
Oh, cool.
Lots of fun.
Really?
Okay. I liked it a lot. I think I didn't.
Did you watch it with our grandma?
Yeah, I saw it with Grammy.
Okay, nice.
So she texted me to go see it. She's like, there's that new Nicolas Cage movie that came out. You want to go see it?
And you're like, you mean the new Robert Kirkman movie?
No, because like the last movie that we saw was The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent.
So you guys are just watching Nick Cage movies
now? She thinks I just love Nick Cage, I think. And so every time a Nick Cage movie comes out, she's probably going to hit me up.
That's so funny.
But I did want to see this one. And maybe she heard me talking about it or something.
Because of Nick Cage, because you love Nick Cage.
Right. Nick Cage fucking killed it. I just thought he was kind of phone this one then, but he was awesome. He was all in. Like he believed he was Dracula.
That's awesome.
And it was awesome. Ben Schwartz is in this.
He's a villain, right?
He's a villain.
Which is so funny.
Remember when you thought that he couldn't be Elastic Man? What's that guy's name?
Elastic Man, yeah. No, Plastic Man, sorry.
Plastic Man, yeah. But you're like, oh, that guy's a villain. He can't play a villain. He's totally a villain in this. He's got like tattoos on like his neck and his hand. It's really funny.
I said he couldn't play a criminal, but I guess that's probably what he is in this movie as
well.
He's
like a drug lord.
And believable? You're not like, that's Ben Schwartz the whole time? Or
I think he plays like kind of a psychotic drug lord, but...
Well?
It's like Ben Schwartz playing a psychotic drug lord, you know?
It's like a comedy movie,
you know what I mean?
Sure.
I'm not, this guy's pure evil, you know?
Do you think he has enough range to be Plastic Man?
Yes.
Okay.
Anyway, when it happens, I'm going to punch you in the face.
Dude, if you...
Slap bet?
Yeah, well, I will slap bet that with you. If it's shake, Ben Schwartz... Right, I will shake right now on camera. If Ben Schwartz is Plastic Man in...
I will slap you.
And the main DCU. None of the what-ifs.
What do you mean?
None of the Elseworlds.
What? Any DC movie.
I want Plastic Man with Batman, you know?
Like the Batman?
No.
Just Batman v Superman?
I want it to be in like mainline DC continuity.
It's got to be at all. Like, well, I guess everything moving forward will be mainline DC universe.
No, because they're doing like Elseworld stuff. Because they're still continuing with like the Batman with
Robert Pattinson. I rescind our slap bet if that's the terms.
You don't lose anything from this.
He's got to be... If anyone else's cap... Is casted, then I get slapped.
Okay, all right, fine. Yeah.
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 So any universe,
okay. If it's Ben Schwartz, you can slap me. But if all it's right. not, I get to slap you.
Sounds good.
This is such a bad bet for you.
No, I'm
going to. It could be literally any other actor.
We're going to do it on the pod. I'm going to turn one of these cameras and.
Your odds are one in like a 3 billion. Do you know how many men are out there?
There's not 3 billion people in the world, okay?
Well, like.
There's not 3 billion actors.
Okay, fair. How many actors are there? Look it up. any one of those that are a white male.
Like 12.
Could be Plastic Man.
Renfield was very violent, very gory.
It's violent. Okay, cool.
I did not expect it to be this gory. I was like, I'm here with my Grammy. You're like, I was like, oh, I like felt bad that I was like making Grammy watch this.
That's so funny.
So like Renfield, he can like get some powers. Because that's something that Dracula's servants can do or whatever. Mm-hmm. And as long as he eats like bugs, he like gets like powers, right?
Yeah, makes sense.
And he like grabs this dude's arms and then kicks his torso and his arms rip off. And then it's just like,
Still hanging onto the arms?
Yeah. And then he starts hitting people with the arms and he throws it like a fucking spear and kills a guy.
It goes through someone?
Through somebody.
What part of the bone?
I guess. Like the whole arm goes in the dude's chest.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Must have threw it pretty hard.
It's pretty fucking crazy.
That person must have drank a lot of milk. Strong bones.
I guess so. Yeah.
Wow. That's so funny that you're just doing that with Grammy.
Yeah. Lots of fun. We're probably going to go see something else because Sarah's being very picky right now with movies. She just doesn't want to see anything.
Oh, okay.
I think John Wick 4, just her jumping to the fourth one. Yeah. Just really...
Yeah, we really put her in an impossible situation for her to like that movie, I think.
I think it's
the
like,
fourth movie in a series, seeing it like as close.
The last movie,
The last like showing of a movie of the night.
So I think I got to build up some rapport with her for her to want to go see another movie.
Okay, fair.
Because I heard like Evil Dead Rises was like good.
Yeah, even Sophie was like talking to me about that.
She would not go see
it. She doesn't want to go see it, but she's like, it's supposed to be pretty good.
Yeah. Anyway, did you watch Mando?
Oh, yeah. The season finale?
Yeah.
I did.
There's some Moff Gideon clones. That was interesting.
Yeah,
and they had the Force.
They were Force sensitive. That's why he wanted to have Grogu's DNA or something in the first season.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's making clones of himself. It seems weird that he's making clones of himself at the age that he's at.
Right.
I would think that it would be like, what's that Will Smith movie where Will Smith fights Will Smith?
Oh, Gemini Man.
You'd think that he'd make like younger versions of himself or something. What was he planning on doing with those?
He's going to make a Mando army.
Or a
dark trooper army.
Of Gideons?
Moff Gideons? Moff Gideons, yeah.
That's so funny.
That'd work pretty well.
Yeah. He has like an exo suit. That's like mechanical.
I guess.
Did you catch that?
Who? Gideon?
Gideon, yeah. Like his whole thing.
Yeah, like it's like a new dark trooper suit.
Yeah.
And so
he's like stronger and stuff.
Yeah.
I really liked that scene where Grogu's getting chased by like the Praetorian guards. Is that what they're called? The red guys. And he's just like flipping around.
Yeah.
Grogu on top of like the lights and they're trying to get him down.
Did you see like all the people like talking about how Grogu like walked into that bar?
Yeah. It's so funny.
He's just like skipping in.
I'm like, what is going on? I love how awkward that little dude moves.
Like normally he's like waddling.
Yeah, normally it's like his whole body.
But they got to move as fast as Mando, so now he's just like,
yeah, like fucking Mr. Krabs.
Yeah,
I like that a lot.
There's a big jetpack fight, which was pretty fun.
Was cool.
Jetpack people versus other jetpack people.
Yeah, I'd like.
Probably the coolest
part. I like the absurdity of everything. Like, there's that one dude that was just, like, crashing the Galactic Cruiser or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Like, into the thing. And I'm like, how does he hit that?
I was like, they're all fucking dead.
He has the whole planet to crash land on, by the way.
And he aimed it.
He did aim it, but there's Mandos in there.
I think he purposefully...
I think you're right. I think he did.
Went that way.
Pretty smart on him then.
Looked expensive.
It did, yeah. So that was pretty cool.
Did you notice that Moff Gideon was missing his Moff stash?
Yeah, I heard this theory that he was a clone.
Yeah.
And Moff Gideon's still alive. Mm-hmm. I think Moff Gideon's still alive, even if that was the real him, because it seemed like he went too quick.
Yeah, he just like was engulfed in flames.
Yeah,
but he was also like, in the dark trooper suit, so he's probably chill. He's
probably chill. Did he have his helmet on when it happened?
I think so.
Okay, yeah, he's probably fine.
Yeah,
just like the way that it happened didn't feel like grand enough or like personal enough,
right?
You know? And he was just like, and like that's it.
Who doesn't want more Giancarlo Esposito?
I want more of him. I thought he sounded really cool with the helmet on too.
Yeah, it was.
It had neat. Like that, like Kylo Ren sort of voice,
where you're like talking into like a cup or something.
Yeah. I'm sure that's what he did.
Or talking through like a paper towel roll.
Or like one of those megaphones that makes your voice sound like an alien, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I always enjoy him. And
he could be in like every show that I watch like ever. And
yeah.
I'd be a happy camper.
He's the same character in a video game. Far Cry.
Far Cry?
Yeah. It's him.
Is he in all of them or just the newer ones?
Just the newest one?
Yeah, it's like 5 or something.
Yeah. And one of the other.
What's Far Cry even about?
Who knows?
Okay. broke the fucking Darksaber. I don't know why he did that.
Yeah.
That's kind of lame.
He wanted it for so long and then he just breaks it.
Yeah, just like, meh. I'm like, what? I just didn't think it was so easily broken.
I mean, he's got a really strong hand because it's the exosuit.
And then like that means like there's basically like no lightsabers in this, you know, which it shouldn't be a lightsaber show. But
the Darksaber seemed like a pretty good exception to like have some sort of a lightsaber thing.
Yeah, it's like the coolest lightsaber.
Yeah.
I wonder if you need a Darksaber in Jedi Survivor.
That would be cool, but I would doubt that would be the case.
Yeah. You can't top a double bladed.
Yeah. We don't see any Pedro Pascal in this,
mm-hmm.
which I think is fine.
Who knows if he was even there?
Yeah. People were saying that it was probably like Last of Us was getting in the way, so they just had him record in like a closet or whatever, which is fine.
Yeah, I don't really care.
I like that he adopts Grogu and he's Din Grogu now.
I thought that was already like the case.
I figured that's what it was.
Now it's a fish.
How do Star Wars names work? Because he's now Din Grogu. Wouldn't he be Grogu Jaren?
I guess maybe it's just something with his lineage where like the last name's first or something.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or maybe it's like, because there's like Moff Gideon, but Moff is like a rank.
You know? Yeah, yeah. There's other Moffs, right?
So yeah, there's like something like that. So it could be along the lines of those names rather than just like first name, last name.
Okay.
But I think other names and just other cultures in like Earth, you know, are like that, you know,
to where that's fair.
Maybe if you translated it, it's like first name, last name, but like how they pronounce it would be like last name, first name, you know?
Yeah. Okay. That's fair. It seems like for a cult that is so strict on some of their rules, they just like let anything happen.
Yeah. You're like, he cannot speak the creed, be like, I adopt him. They're like, all right.
I'm like, ah, shit, you got me there.
Because like, I kind of respected like how strict the creed was. Because like,
yeah, I like that. Because it's like psychotic. You have to like go somewhere else to go eat food.
It's insane. And you never take that shit off. And just like all that shit.
And now
you can take your helmet off. Like all the rules are just basically left.
It's anarchy.
Like you don't even need to be a Mandalorian anymore. You just kind of people with jetpacks.
Yeah.
Anyone can get those.
Yeah. What's next?
It's just kind of like this club that you are a part of if the other people vibe with you.
That being said, I do like Bo-Katan a lot more after this season. I think her character is pretty cool.
I thought she was definitely coolest after season two.
I did not give a shit about her season two at all.
Yeah. I thought she was like, she had more like of an attitude, I guess, and like, I guess motive.
She did, but like, I don't, something about like, just Mandalorians that just like took their helmet off. I was like, I don't give a fuck.
You know? Yeah, but like, it feels like almost unnatural for her to like just go back to being like the leader or whatever. Mm-hmm. Because like, I kind of liked how she was like this outcast who was like, the throne was like taken from her or whatever because she lost the Darksaber.
Yeah.
And I don't think everyone needs like a redemption kind of thing. Like, I kind of liked her doing her own thing, being like a rogue Mandalorian. You know?
Yeah. I like that he separated himself and he's like, I'm just going to go back to like my Mandalorian like bounty stuff.
Yeah.
Like go to Greef Karga, be like, yo, I'm here if you need me. And then go to that super chill Imperial dude. And it's like, if you need something, let me know. And then he's just got his house.
Mr. Kim.
Yeah.
Dude, I took the biggest L as an IMDb bitch, you know, as IMD bitch,
bigger than that one on your birthday.
This is my biggest L.
Okay, because the L that you took on your birthday is I asked you what the movie Chronicle was named, and you couldn't think of the name.
You're like, what was the found footage movie with Michael B. Jordan?
Superhero
that
movie
Chronicle. I even sober, I've forgotten the name of that movie because there's nothing. They don't say it. There's nothing. It's just the name to a thing.
They don't say like
they could give it a different name, you know.
They're never like, "Are you doing a Chronicle right now?"
Yeah, I have these Chronicle powers or whatever, you know. And so that's a hard one.
That okay. Anyway, what's the L that you took?
So, Greef Karga.
Yeah,
he's played by Carl Weathers.
Yep.
And Carl Weathers was Apollo Creed in the Rocky movies.
Yeah.
No fucking clue.
He
was also in like Happy Gilmore. He was like some dude.
Oh, I missed that. Yeah.
He was in fucking Predator.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember seeing Predator. I'm like, oh, it's fucking Apollo Creed. And I just like did not know. For some reason, when he died in Rocky 3 or whatever, I thought just the real guy died. I don't know.
Yeah, essentially.
So I just did not realize that he was still acting, let alone in The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh my God, that's so fucking stupid.
That's hilarious.
I was like ashamed. I was like, I have to tell Nathan, you know.
He seems, this is like a lot different of a role than most of his stuff, right? Because he's.
Yeah, but it's not like his face is covered or anything.
Yeah, totally, totally true.
That just speaks to how good of an actor he is.
Yeah, he's got a good range because he's like very stoic in this kind of.
You know,
all the other ones, he's like this grizzly dude.
Right.
So, yeah, it's night and day.
Definitely.
But that's funny that you didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Is that everything? What are we reading next week?
What are we gonna read next week?
You tell me. I don't know. We got a couple weeks open.
Okay, I want to read a book called Bird King. I showed you it a couple weeks ago.
Is that that shit you showed me?
It's not shit. It looks good. I don't really know anything about it, but I read the preview sample, and I want to read it. And I haven't suggested a thing in a minute, so we're going to read some Bird King by Crom.
Oh, yeah. That looks like...
It looks like Andrew McLean from, like, Headlopper.
Yeah.
Like, sort of art. And I have no idea if this will be good.
I'm cool with it.
By Daniel Friedman and Crom, Bird King. Check it out. If you haven't heard of it, it looks pretty good. So... we'll read that next week.
What's Raiders? Have you heard of that?
The football team?
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
Dark fantasy and magic collide. From the creators of Raiders, Daniel Friedman and Crom, comes an original dark fantasy.
Yep. Don't know what that is.
This looks really sick. I love this cover.
Yeah. It looks awesome. So I'm totally down for that.
Who makes this image?
Daniel. Publishes it?
We said the name like five times. Or is this Dark Horse?
I think it's Dark Horse.
Yeah, it is Dark Horse Books.
Yeah, Dark Horse Books.
Cool.
So we'll read that.
Okay.
The first review, 5 stars, good art. Yeah. The title of the review is good artwork. The description is good art.
Yeah, I saw that. Anyway, good stuff. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. If you're listening, go watch. You can check out, follow, like, subscribe to all of our stuff. Our link tree is going to be in the bio to however you're experiencing this. You can suggest things for us to read at tradewriterspod@gmail.com. Send us an email. You can tell us if you knew that Creve Karga was Apollo Creed.
Yep.
And that I took a big L.
Big ol' L.
Big ol' L. And you can tell us what to read the following week.
Exactly.
Thanks a lot.
All right, bye.
Goodbye.